You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I've entitled tonight's sharing, Pour It Out to God. Pour It Out to God. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to start in verse 17. First Thessalonians 5, in verse 17, it says, Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is pouring our heart out to God through prayer. And one of the greatest things that we can do for anyone is to pray for them. To pray for them. And it's also one of the greatest things that we can do for ourselves is to pray, right? Prayer is something that can be done anytime and anywhere. Right? There's an old children's song that's like, there's only one good place to pray, and that's two good times to pray. Thank you. And those times are night and day. This means all the time. And there's only one good place to pray. And that place is anywhere I am, right? And that's true. You can pray at any time, anywhere you are. And that's why God encourages us to do it without intermission, right? That word ceasing there is intermission. So to pray all the time, as often as we can. And God is always there, available and listening, right? There's never a time where you're going to pray and God won't hear it, right? He always wants you to be praying. Because prayer is talking with God. And it's super powerful for us to pray for each other. And it's really good for yourself to pray, because prayer is talking with God. It's having a conversation with Him, right? Anytime you talk to God, it's prayer. And so by praying, you're recognizing and acknowledging that God is there. And you're sharing your heart with Him. You're asking Him for things. You're expressing gratitude or thankfulness or praise, right? And all of that helps you to practice the presence of God. Go to Matthew chapter 21. So God's exhortation to us in a doctrinal epistle, that's what Thessalonians is to pray without ceasing. Pray a lot. And chances are, I know it's true for me, but there's probably more room in your life to pray, right? And that's something that we can all work towards, making more time to pray. Matthew 21:22 says, And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall what? Receive. And that receive is lambano, into manifestation. So you're going to receive it into manifestation. It's going to be living and real in your life. And prayer and believing, therefore, go hand in hand, right? Anything that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive, right? Hebrews 11:6, we don't have to go there, but it says that without believing, it's impossible to what? Please God. That's right. It's impossible to please God. So believing is how we please God. And we need to believe when we pray. We have to believe that God is there and He's listening when we pray, right? And that He'll answer that prayer. And when we do, then we'll receive into manifestation, right? We'll get that answered prayer as we talk to God. Prayer is asking God to do what He already said He was going to do, right? We've got to pray with believing, and we can only believe what we know is available according to God's Word. So once we understand what's available in God's Word, right, we can pray for it. We can ask God for it, and with believing, we'll receive it, right? It's asking God for something that He's already told us is available, that He's already told us He'll do. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And that's a good way to approach prayer. You're asking God for something He already said He was going to do. You might ask people to do something and you don't know if they're actually going to say yes or not. This is true for kids all the time, right? You might go to mom and dad and say, can I do this? And you don't know if they're going to say yes. A lot of times they say no. But with God, if we know what His Word says and we ask according to His Word, He's already told us He's going to do it. We already know what the answer is going to be. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Right? So we want to give all that stuff to God. We want to pour it out to God. He's asking us to. He wants us to share our hearts with Him. He wants us to cast our cares and our concerns, our fears, our doubts, our worries. He wants us to get rid of them. He wants us to unload them onto Him because He cares for you, right? He wants you to throw those things at Him and not hang on to them anymore. He wants them, right? He's not a God that's like, oh my gosh, this person again and their need about this, right? He wants to hear from you. He wants fellowship with you and He cares about you. Right? God cares about you like you're the only one left in the entire world because He's an individual God. Right? And it's really cool because He can do that with everybody all at once. Right? So there might be all of us praying to God at the same time for very different things. But God can treat every single one of those like it's just you and Him. Like you're the only person left in the world. That's how much He cares about you. Prayer is an expression of how great God is, right? And we should come to God with a deep sense of respect and awe when we pray to God, right? It's our time visiting with our daddy. We should go to Him, you know, expecting to receive. And believing that He wants to hear from us and believing that He wants to take care of these things. And it's our way of expressing how great He is. When we trust that He's going to take care of it, we're acknowledging how awesome God is, right? And that really blesses Him. Go to Acts chapter 13, verse 21. Acts chapter 13, verse 21. It says, and afterward they desired a king, speaking of the children of Israel, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, when God had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, now this is what God said about David, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after what? Mine own heart. Which shall fulfill all my will, right? And that was how God described David, as a man after his own heart. And that means pouring out that heart to God, right? And that's something that David did. I mean, when we read the Psalms, we see David's heart for God and how he went to God with everything, whether it was rejoicing, whether it was thanksgiving, whether it was he needed help and deliverance, he went to God. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly, and God wants all of it. He wants to hear when you're really blessed and when you're having a good time and when you're thankful, but he also wants to know when you need something and when your heart is really hurt, right? And if you have that time to give a nice, good, ugly cry, God wants it. He wants to be the person you have that ugly cry with, right? He wants to hear from you. he wanted to know, David wanted to know, how to live with and for God to the very best of his ability. That was his heart, right? And that's the kind of heart that we can have when we go to God in prayer. When we see a need in someone else, it's a call to pray, right? It's a call to action on our part to pray if we know that somebody has a need. That should be our response, is let me pray for that. And it should be our response in our own life too, right? When something happens, the first response we should have is to pray about it, right? And prayer is the best way to prepare for things too. And we see that in David a lot as well. He would always ask, well, not always, but many times he would ask God what to do before he went into battle, where he should go. Was this a great idea to go into this fight, or should I avoid this situation, right? So prayer is the best way to prepare for anything, whatever it is. If you're going on a job interview, if you're making a big decision, if, you know, just involve God in it. Even if it's a basic run-of-the-mill routine, involve God. You're inviting God to be a part of the process by going to him in prayer. And that's the best way to be successful, is to invite God to be a part of that process, right? If you've got a big decision to make, ask God. If you've got something you're thinking about doing, check in with God. He might tell you the best way to do it. He might tell you not to do it at all, right? But then you'll know you'll be successful if you go to God and you get the answer from him. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark 1:35. So David was a great example of that, involving God in everything he was trying to do. And God said that he was a man after his own heart. Another great example is Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. We see throughout the Gospels many different records where Jesus Christ taught on prayer, and many different records that talk about how Jesus Christ approached prayer. Right? We already read in Matthew that prayer and believing go hand in hand. In Mark 1:35 it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Right? And so what can we learn from this verse? What do we see that's happening in this verse? Jesus Christ is getting up early, which means he's making time for prayer, right? He's making time in his own life for prayer, right? Everybody has very busy lives and a lot of things to do. Well, Jesus Christ made sure that he got up early enough, a great while before day, before all the hustle and bustle started, to pray, to set up his day, to go to God first and say, all right, what are we doing today, God? That's, like I said, the best way to prepare and to be successful. And it also says, he went out and departed into a solitary place, right? He made time to pray with God, but he also found the right environment so that he could be successful in prayer, right? A place without distractions, a place where, you know, his happy place, his quiet place to get with God. Right? And sometimes we might need to get ourselves into a quiet place in order to have that time with God. It doesn't mean you can't pray while you're in the car driving. Doesn't mean you can't pray while you're getting your kid off to school. But sometimes we might need to find that separate quiet place to get quiet with God and pray as well. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. So we want to pour it out to God. We want to cast all the stuff we've got on our hearts to him and be confident and believe that he hears us and that he'll take care of it. In Luke 18:1, it says, this is Jesus Christ teaching about prayer. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, to this result, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. They ought always to pray and not to faint or not to give up. Right? So Jesus taught people, he taught his disciples, his followers, to be persistent in prayer. Right? To be persistent in prayer. Not to faint, not to give up before the deliverance gets there, right? We're not promised an immediate answer to all of our problems all of the time. That's not anywhere in the Word. But it does say that God will answer our prayer. And so we're encouraged, and Jesus Christ taught his disciples to keep going to God in prayer, not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And if you read the parable, it's about the, you know, the unjust judge and the crying unto him day and night, right? But the idea is you don't faint. You don't give up on that prayer. Go to Acts chapter 4. And there's examples of this throughout the New Testament. We're not going to go to every place that talks about prayer, but you can find at least one example, one scripture about prayer in all of these New Testament books. In Acts 4, verse 29, and here's what the early church, the early believers prayed for. It says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." This is what they prayed for. They prayed for great boldness to speak the word, and that there, as a result, that there would be signs and wonders done following. Right? That was their heart. That was their prayer. They asked God for bigger boldness to do that, so that people could see God's power in operation. And it says in verse 31, "And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with" what? Boldness. And so they got an answer to their prayer, right? They all spoke the word with boldness, right? That's a real heart for God and for what he wants for his kids, right? So we can pray like David did, that God would work in us to do the things that God would have us to do. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, right? And so that can be part of our prayer life. That can be part of what we pour out to God. What do you want me to do, God? How can I best, you know, do your word and be of service and be a blessing, right? And God will show you how to do that. And we can pray for things that we know are already available. We already know we're ambassadors for Christ. We already know that part of what we're supposed to do here is hold forth the word. So these people prayed for boldness to do that. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And really all that is asking God to help you to be the best that you can be. You know what you're called to do. They knew that they were called to speak God's word, and so they prayed for bigger ability to do that. And that's really cool. God's going to honor that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in" what? Our prayers. Right? And Paul was writing this to the Thessalonians, the believers at Thessalonica. He was thankful for them. And he always made mention of them when he prayed, right? When we think about each other, when we think about people we know in the body, we can pray, right? If you happen to be just sitting around and somebody pops in your brain, oh yeah, I really like them. You can pray for them, right? You can be thankful for them. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing, with careful attention to your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Right? We can be thankful to God in our prayers for each other. We can give Him and give Him praise and give Him the thanks that are due Him. And we can remember one another in our prayers, right? And remember all the good things that each of us contributes to this great body of Christ. And we're going to close in Psalm chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6, verse 9. So remember, prayer is an expression of how great God is. He wants you to pour your heart out to Him. He wants you to give it all up to Him. How thankful we can be that we've got a God who hears us. That we've got a God who wants to answer our prayers. Not a God that's just going to knock us around, right? But we've got a God who wants to fellowship with us. In Psalm 6, verse 9, it says, "The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my what? Prayer." So pour it out to God. Give it up to Him. He hears them, He receives them, and He answers them, right? As we give our hearts to God, as we pour it out to God, with great believing, we will see the results. And we'll have that closer relationship with God. And He's going to get real blessed fellowshipping with you.